John, you know, his gospel is so different compared to the synoptic gospels. And some people think that he chose to write something just to be different. And it wasn't that. It was the fact that the Spirit of God pointed him in his heart and drove him to write about this beautiful truth. Mark wrote about a beautiful truth. He came as a servant, a suffering servant, to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew wrote about him. He's the coming king, you know, and the reality of that, you know, and Jewish nation wanted a king right then and there. And he wrote about that. Again, totally driven by the Spirit of God, indwelled by the Spirit, borne along by the Spirit. Luke did the same. Ah, this man Jesus was 100% man, you know? And as we consider that and how he could be 100% man and 100% God, is it's hard for us to wrap my puny little mind around how he could be that in one person. But yet, Jesus Christ was. And John comes along, and he wants you and I to know, behold, Jesus Christ is everything. Everything. And you and I can take by faith and realize that the Son of God is everything. Everything that we need. He has given us everything that we need in a broken world to live a life that reveals him and him alone. You know, I don't know if you've ever met Mark, the singer of Casting Crowns. He has survived cancer. He is, his heart for God is so huge. They will not sing on the weekends most of the time. What we got here in Colorado Springs to have him here on a Sunday is an anomaly. Usually his Sundays are home worshiping and serving. He is a pastor on staff at a larger church, and he still does the junior hires. And he's in his 50s. God bless him. But his heart, John's heart, the one who loved Jesus, wants us to believe this truth. That's why, near the end of the letter, he penned these words in John 20, 31. But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. That's the sole purpose of this letter, this beautiful book. Behold, Jesus, the Son of God, he is everything. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this time that we can jump into your word, study your word. Oh, Father, I pray that these few verses would just fall richly on our hearts, and that you would massage it so deep into our hearts for us to see the wonders of who Jesus Christ our Lord is and how we can respond. Oh, Father, grow us in your grace. Use us for your glory. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. John, as I said, he has this goal of revealing to us that God is everything. And in the first 18 verses, there are key words that address you and I, how we live life, key words that genuinely reveal this whole reality of who Jesus Christ is. He starts out totally differently than any other gospel. He doesn't want to tell us his lineage or anything. He starts out right away wanting us to know that he is God, that he is everything in our lives. And he comes to this point to where led by the Spirit of God, he jumps right in and he goes, and I want you to know that he is the Word. Now, that might be an odd place to start, but it really isn't for you and I. Even back in John's day, in that first century, there was this guy by the name of Philo who loved to write about God's Word. And what he would always do, and he would use the same word, logos, and he would totally allegorize Scripture in every way he possibly could. I'll just take one example. You and I know that Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. And two what were put there at the edge of the garden to guard the garden so that they couldn't get back in? Two what? Cherubim. You know what he says they are? His words, not mine. He said this. He goes, I want you to know that in Genesis 3:24, the cherubim that were equipped with a flaming sword at the Eden's gate to prevent access, he says they were two divine potencies. Just something strong. Not really looking at the fact that they were angels of God, real living beings. And he says, one of them was God's loving kindness. And the other one was God's sovereignty. And the sword is the logos, or the reason that unites the two. He goes on to say, it was just like what Balaam ended up with. You know, you remember his mule wouldn't go forward because he was going to sin against God. And Balaam says, you know, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. You know, it's the same sword kind of thing. He just allegorizes. And so potentially, John is wanting people to know that Jesus Christ is the Word. Look at that first verse there in John chapter 1 with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He immediately drives you and I to the point to realize that this one, the Son of God, the Word is divine. He is God, and the joy of it. And you and I have God's written word, inspired by the Spirit of God, that we can trust. It is reliable in every way. It is consistent from cover to cover to reveal to you and I God's wonderful plan for us. It is everything that we need. You know, in John chapter 20, verse 30, he goes, you know, bottom line is, Jesus Christ did a lot of stuff, and I just captured a few points, and I want you to know that if we tried to copy down everything that Jesus Christ did, the rooms could not fill the volumes of it, but these words are written that you and I may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Before we get finished with this book, I pray that all of us have it memorized. I mean, we will see it week after week. We'll introduce it because this is the intent. He is the Word, the wonderful Word that we have in him. It goes on to say this, the fact that he is the creator. Notice what it says in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus Christ. We know that he indeed was there and present in the wonders of creation. You know, God spoke. And the world was created, and the universe was created. Yeah. It is such a beautiful world. And today, even though in the midst of its fallenness, we get to see snow, it's pretty. Might be a little dicey and icy to drive on, but it's pretty. You know, it's a joy. And I don't even mind the cooler weather. I wish it was a wetter snow so I could enjoy a snowball fight every now and then. But out here, you don't get that very often. But yeah, you can't even make a good snowman out here all the time. That's shucks. But, you know, it is something to behold. You know, I've shared with you as I'm studying and I come out for a break and I start praying out here, I always get drawn to that window so I can look out at Pikes Peak. It is beautiful. His creation is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. And I've had the joy of seeing its beauty not just in America, but across the world in many different places. God's been so gracious in that. You know, I still have some bucket list places to go. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Oh, I'm jealous, no? Envious. Who wants to take us? Hey, all right. Good. I haven't been there. Our son has been there, and he actually got out real early because he was on the west side. He was on the east side, and he wanted to see the sun come up and hit as it goes down into the valley. And he said, "Dad, I was in tears seeing and beholding God's creation." You know, yeah. He is creator. He is everything. You know, he is the word, and you and I have God's word. It is that sharp two-edged sword that pierces and divides. And as you and I get into it, often we're convicted because we see who we are compared to God. You know, I'm saved, and I'm saved by God's grace and mercy, but yet I'm still imperfect. I fail every now and then, you know, and within that, I know that there's forgiveness and everything, and I know that someday I will be glorified like him. The sin nature will be gone. Whoa, what a blessing, you know, that you and I have. He is the Word. He is everything to us. Notice also that he is the life. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, it's a combination there. But in him alone, Jesus Christ is the only name by which you and I can be saved. And all of God's people said? Amen. Yeah. It's the only name. Yeah. You know, and that, I know that offends folks, but God's way is his way. You know, it's not mine. It's his. All that he has given us in his birth, death, burial, and resurrection is for us to understand God's standard is his standard, and he gives us life. The very moment I trusted Christ as Savior, I was born again, and we'll get to that in John chapter 3. You know, I became a child of God. We'll see that today, though I didn't know that. You know, but I knew my sins were forgiven. And I knew this burden of trying to live life by myself had ended. And now I could start living by faith, an imperfect faith, an ever-growing faith that I needed. But yet I knew because he is the life and he is the light, now we have a way to see our way through in this broken world. Matter of fact, verses 5 through 11 enhances this thought of the light. Notice what it says. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When Christ came and he started declaring, "I'm the Son of God," he began doing his miracles within Jerusalem, within all of Israel, in front of the Pharisees and scribes. You know, he would cure people of leprosy, and they'd get upset on him because he did it on a Sabbath day. He would heal paralytics. He would do all of these things. You know, even with the paralytic, you remember the story, maybe you don't, of four guys had a good friend who had been paralyzed, you know, and they drop him down through the roof, and that's the only way that they could get the paralytic to Christ because the crowd was around and they were listening, you know, and they dropped their friend down knowing by faith that Jesus Christ can do something really wonderful, and we're praying that he does something really wonderful for our friend. And the first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth to him was, your sins are forgiven. You know, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of them, they, like, that's blasphemy. And Jesus says, now wait a minute, in front of you, is it an easier thing for me to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? Which will reveal to you more that I am the life, the light, the word, that I am the Son of God, that which I've been declaring to you? And so he goes, so that you might know that I have the power to forgive sins, get up and walk. And he does. You know, instantly, that's our God. That's the wonder of who Jesus Christ is. The light. And they didn't comprehend that. They just kind of sat back and say, Part of it was jealousy. They did not like the fact that large crowds were being drawn to him and that they would sit down for hours and listen to him teach. And so there's some jealousy going on within it. Also, within that, his authority was greater than their authority. And so now, it seemed like in their hearts, I think, that they believed we're losing our grip on the people. Rather than them rejoicing and saying, gosh, my whole life as a scribe and a Pharisee ought to be to point them to Christ, point them to God, rather than point them to a bunch of rules and how we've interpreted what the law should be, and you live this way. And that's why Christ told them, you put burdens on the people that is crazy, just absolutely crazy. He is the Word, he is a creator, he is life, he is light, and darkness doesn't understand them. But for those of you who are saved at a little bit older age, you and I know the joy when the light pierces the darkness of our own heart and we see the truth. I don't know about you, but that was exciting moments for me. It was broken moments. I won't say it wasn't. I spent so long on my face crying before God because part of me was unsure whether or not, because I was such a sinner in my heart and life, and I was such a sinner, that he really would forgive me. But in the moment and in the time and as I poured my heart out to God, that totally changed. And by the time I ended praying, asking God to forgive me of my sin and trusting Christ, I knew I was a forgiven man. And I'll tell you, you talk about the burden that, whoa. I want you to know that that same truth is real for those who fall away from God after trusting Christ as Savior. If we have a broken heart before God, kind of Psalm 51-ish, because David realized he'd blown it big time, and we repent, God restores us. That's who God is. He is that life. He is that light. He is the creator. He is the word. Notice how that continues on. Verse 6 now talks about John. John was the one who came to point people to Christ who was coming. And there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might, what's that next word? Believe. You know, John's mission was to announce, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want you to know there's one who's coming whose shoe I can't even unlace. I mean, he is God. He is coming, and he meant to be a witness to that. You know, when we think of Jesus alone, the song that we just had, you know, it's a harsh phrase in there. I don't want to leave a legacy. I want them to believe. I want a life that points them only to. And that's what John is saying. I want, here I am, my calling in life. God has designed for me to live this way, to point everybody to this one that you're going to meet, literally, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, the Creator, the life, and the light. And he's coming. I just want you to know, so that when you believe in him, you will have this light. He was not, John was not that light, Jesus, but sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, Israel. Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. Light. And I've shared with you numerous times, having worked in a mine, and I know Steve has also worked in a mine, and you can go in places within the mine where it's just totally devoid of light. There is nothing. And you can experience what pure darkness is. And I experience that often. Over the years that I was there, sometimes in very scary moments, we had an explosion that I was just about 100 feet away that was horrible, and the smoke was great. We were about a third of a mile to a half of a mile away from the headframe, and literally the explosion was so bad that it blew steel doors off up top side, and we were 2,300 feet below ground, almost a half mile, and so it was easily a half mile where it went up, and it was so powerful, just blew. The smoke, it would, because of the rubber and plastics and stuff that were there, was so dense, so heavy, I wasn't sure I could get enough oxygen to live. Same with a friend of mine by the name of Joe. My headlamp was smashed. His headlamp was smashed. We had zero light. And they were sure that we were probably dead. They called for a mine rescue team. And we're trying to make our way through pure dark, without light. Yeah. I did not know. That's the way I was living life spiritually before I met Christ. I was living in pure dark, relying only on me for any kind of a life. And I was at a point in my own life, because of how life was, that I really didn't believe that there could be a God who cared about me. And yet the truth is, Jesus Christ reveals all of that through the wonder of all that he is. Look at verses 12 and 13, because now we're introduced that he is the Redeemer. Verse 12 is one of my favorite verses now that I know it. But as many, that is the same as a whosoever, but as many as received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Wow. Who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. God's plan to bring about a redeemer. And as you and I get introduced to the redeemer, he wants us to know he came for a simple reason: to reveal the truth, the grace, and the mercy, and the love of God, so that you and I could have a relationship with him. I often thought all religion was just religion. The only reason why they met together was so that they could be at odds with each other. Or the only reason why they met together was to sing songs they really didn't mean. Or the only reason why they got together was to take your money so that they could live high on the hog. Literally, that's what I thought about church. You know, that's why I love it here that we don't take offerings, because I know when I started going to church, man, that plate seemed to go by me four times during one service. And I said, and that was just me and my lostness and how I perceived people at church, let alone. Listen, you know, here at Ellicott, we just celebrated our first year, you know, and just so exciting. And people could come in and say, man, you're just filled with a bunch of hypocrites because I know so-and-so outside the walls. And, you know, and that, you guess what? That's true. Every now and then we fail. We blow it big time. But yet, if we are in Christ, we're still children of God. The question is whether or not I want my life in that moment to reveal him. Naturally, when we sin, we're being selfish and we want to do things our own way for our own flesh and for whatever reason. Every now and then we can blow it. The question is what happens in your heart, my heart, when we do? How broken do we get before our God who now says, you are my precious child. I have begotten you. I have adopted you through all that you are in Christ Jesus. You are part of my family. You're joint heirs now with the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Son, and you are brethren with him. That just blows my mind. You know, I think about the fact that God would save me, and then I think, gosh, now he wants to adopt me? No way. But it's true. Yes way. Yeah, and that's why when we see the Redeemer and the fact that his shed blood, his sacrifice, removed the sin to satisfy the holiness of God on my behalf, because he knew I couldn't do anything in this life to satisfy the holiness of God. And that's what it means to be redeemed, purchased from the stranglehold of sin so that we become children of God, set free indeed, totally. The shackles of sin are gone. And so we get back to the song, Only Jesus. Yeah. I have only one life to live, yeah, and I yearn that people would see Jesus in me, hear Jesus from me. And the moments I fail, God forgive me, I yearn for people to see Jesus. Point them to him. Yesterday in our men's Bible study, we talked about the word edify. Literally, the word edify, you know, we know it means to build up. Bottom line, it is that everything that comes out of this mouth and everything that is lived in this life, how I treat Diane, how I treat our kids, our grandkids, how we treat the gal at the counter in the grocery stores and the different stores we go into, how I treat you folks and everything aspect about it is meant to let them see I'm a real guy. And I'm saved by the grace of God and the truth of God. And I want you to enjoy this great adventure as a child of God too. And doing it together as a body of believers, it's so much fun. And the only way we can do that is if we put on what Christ has given us. For you self-confrontation people. You know, everything that he's given us in Christ. He's given us so much. And the first step is for you and I to understand the very moment you trusted Christ as Savior, the very moment I did, we became children of the Most High God. My identity is different. Totally different. Yeah, my earthly dad was Chuck Bailey, Charles. Most people called him Charlie or worse. And, yeah, he was my biological dad. But the very moment I trust Christ as Savior, I got a heavenly Father who loves me. Far superior than my earthly dad ever could. Guess what? At one point, at the age of 68, my dad trusted Christ as Savior. Guess what? Our relationship changed. Now he's my brother in Christ. We both have the same Heavenly Father. That's what redemption is. And so in the midst of life, in the midst of trials and all the difficulties and everything that happens in life, go running to him and realize that he is your Father. And he cares for you enough to carry you through in the midst of everything to reveal himself so that others would see this beautiful truth. Notice how he came. Not only came by the power of God and the wonder of the incarnation and all that we celebrate soon and at Christmas, but this word, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us. He came in the incarnation full of pure grace and pure truth. Notice what it says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John, this John the Baptist, bore witness of him and cried out, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me," because he's been eternal. Full, and in the fullness we have all received grace for grace. John bore witness. He's preferred before me. And in his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah. We often struggle in trying to figure out what the triune Godhead is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and yet their unity is so, so pronounced throughout Scripture. And as we go through this, we can see these truths and how he has come full of completely pure grace and truth. Aren't you glad God is gracious? Not giving to me what I deserve. Not given to you what you deserve. You know, we did not deserve salvation. That's why it's a gift. That's why God calls it a gift. It is a gift from his heart, from his soul, from his purpose for you and I. It's a perfect gift. And it's full of truth and grace. What God says, we can stand on, and we can take hope in it, take root in it, and allow it to flood over our souls, radically changing us for his glory. Full of grace and truth. One of the questions I would ask each and every one of us is, how much do we like this book? It's God's love letter from his heart to you and I. And he has preserved it. In a wonderful way. In a wonderful way. So that you and I can enjoy this relationship with him. Get a better idea of how we are doing in this life compared to God's standard. And then through the power of his Spirit and everything change. Radically change. Because he's the one that's doing the change in us. I want you to know there is absolutely no truth to this statement. You can turn over a new leaf. I didn't want to burst your bubble, but that's truth. You can't. But I want you to know, God can do a great work in your life and radically change you, transform you. That's because he is the Redeemer, and he is full of pure grace, pure truth that reveals all our needs. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Catch the last verse that we're going to look at today, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. Only the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In other words, God has declared him as this truth. He is the Son of God. He is the one. and the one and only. John came to declare that truth. That was his ordained time to let Israel know, guess what? The Christ, the Messiah, he's coming. Come on, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, today the announcement hasn't changed. You know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the call to you and I. And that we can look at all these things and we can be honest with ourselves. We lived in darkness. God doesn't want us in darkness. He revealed his light, his love, his truth, his compassion, all in Jesus Christ. And he wants you and I to receive him. Believe the truth of his word. Yeah. I remember reading an article of a kindergarten teacher who asked the kids over the next 20 minutes, I want you to draw a picture of what is most important to you, you know? And so within 10, 15 minutes, the kids were all done, and, you know, except for little Johnny, he was in the back, and he was just going crazy and on his paper, and the teacher was patient, and it became 30 minutes, and it became 35 minutes, and it became 40 minutes, and so she went back and said, Johnny, what are you doing? What are you trying to draw for us? He goes, a picture of God. And the teacher goes, well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like. And Johnny goes, they will when I'm finished. The Apostle John wants you and I to know exactly who Jesus Christ is, and to vividly see that he spent time with him. He understands who he is. And he wants you and I to place our faith and trust in him alone and allow that light and love to penetrate our hearts and lives so that others see that love and light, that truth, that grace through us. You know where you're at. You know if your heart is overshadowed by darkness today or whether you're walking in the light. Don't leave here. You braved the storm. And it looks like it stopped. Today's a great day to trust Christ as Savior. Don't leave here apart from him. And if you walked away, guess what? He is that Father saying, please come back. Please come back. Be my son. I want to use you. Be my daughter. I love you. As the worship team comes to play, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is everything? And can you walk by faith, trusting your Heavenly Father? If you want to make a decision for Christ today, right where you're at, that's great. But if you'd like to come and share it with those who would be up here praying, please come up and say, just pray for me. Maybe you've just had an ugly week. That's okay. Come up and get prayer. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the reality that it points us to Jesus and is Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a glorious truth. Father, we just lay our hearts bare before you. You know every dark recess. You know the light that's there. Lord, might you do a work in our hearts and life through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit, to draw us closer to you. celebrating all that we have in your Son. Thank you again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.